Turn in the scriptures, if you will, to the beginning of the Gospel of Matthew as we continue a new series there. Matthew chapter 1. Remember that the Bible is not a book that contains the Word of God. It is the Word of God. It is inspired, inerrant, and infallible. It is our only rule of faith and practice. This morning I'll be reading verses 16 through 25. Matthew 1. And Jacob begot Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called Christ. So all the generations from Abraham to David are 14 generations. From David until the captivity of Babylon are 14 generations. And from the captivity in Babylon until the Christ are 14 generations. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. She will bring forth a son, and you will call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. So all this was done, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. Then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took to him his wife, and did not know her till she had brought forth her firstborn son. And he called his name Jesus. So far in the reading of the word, may that word dwell in us richly. Let's go before the throne of grace once again. Our Heavenly Father, we do come before you in the name of Christ, thanking you for this time of worship. And we would pray now that as we hear the Word of God, we would hear by faith, and that faith would come to those who do not have it, and that faith would be built up in those who do. Lord, bless the speaker and the hearers for Christ's sake, for we pray in His name. Amen. Well, we know an awful lot, but we don't know an awful lot as well. We don't know the way of the wind. We don't know exactly how bones grow in the womb. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. There's so much in the creation that can boggle the mind. And when you put all of that together, how much less do we know about how an infinite God becomes a baby in the womb of a virgin girl? The incarnation is in many ways shrouded in mystery. It is a subject to be adored more than investigated. But there is much about this story that we do know, because the birth of the baby Jesus is told in, if you will, real time, with real people, real situations. I mean, consider, in the grand scheme of things, the people that God speaks well of. Noah, in Genesis 6, he found grace in the eyes of God. Says there that he was a just man, perfect in all his ways, walked with God. He builds the ark, he saves his son and their families. And yet in Genesis 9, Noah gets drunk. One of his children gets into really big trouble. Job is called blameless, upright, one who feared God, shunned evil. Even when he was afflicted, would not curse God. He loses everything. Friends, blame him. David, the chosen king of God, a man after God's own heart, one that is often called the sweet singer of Israel. He slays Goliath, victory in battles, and yet David has many flaws, failings, conspiracy, murder, lust, troubled children, betrayed by his own son. And then we have this man, Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus Christ. We looked last week at the very beginning of the ancestry of Jesus, if you will. It shows that he has a human heritage, that God has been working through history in a covenant connection. There are 39 begots in these first verses. And yet when we get to the Joseph one, Joseph did not begot Jesus. In fact, that very difference right there. 39 begots, but not Joseph. That is strong evidence that Jesus had no earthly father because of that absent begot. In Genesis 5, several men are mentioned. And he died. But then there's Enoch. And it doesn't say, then he died. It says, and he was not. Why? Because God took him. That's unusual. Same thing. 39 begots. And then Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom Jesus was conceived. Very unusual. Conceived by the Holy Spirit. Brothers and sisters, just saying it out loud is an assault on our scientific understanding of how babies are born. And yet there it is. Now, Jesus was, if you will, adopted by Joseph. Joseph was his legal father, the son of David, says in verse 20. Joseph was the baby's legal father. The right to the throne of David actually is traced through Joseph. He was a Nazarene. Why? Because for a time they lived in a small, despised, insignificant town, not Boston. Upton. Anything good come from Upton? He was a carpenter's son. And we find out in chapter 13 that he was looked down on. Because of that, we know who his family is. even though he was from the royal line of David. And so this morning I want to think about this man, this character, Joseph, a disciplined, righteous, thoughtful, obedient man. Verse 18, he was a disciplined man. This can be seen in the way he lived his life. Joseph, before they came together, he respected the cultural marriage customs of the day. But you understand that betrothed is a serious binding thing. In other words, before you got betrothed, there better be a careful consideration. Not a rash romantic reaction, but rather, engaged was a legal contract. They weren't living together as a married couple. In other words, they were not having physical relationships. But notice, Joseph is called in verse 19, then Joseph, her husband. They're not married yet. Being a just man, not wanting to make her a public example, was going to put her away. Marry your wife, verse 20. They're not married yet. But betrothed in that culture, in that time, even before the wedding, was a serious matter. It was a time of commitment with restrictions. Self-control was expected. Respect for purity was understood. In other words, Joseph kept this relationship pure. See how marriage is honorable. Today, there's a culture in which single and free means you get to sleep with whomever you want, whenever you want, and it's seen as a basic right of youth culture. But the self-discipline of Joseph protects the virgin reputation of Mary. He is betrothed to a virgin daughter of Israel. What a difference, young men, it would make in your life if you looked at the woman that you're interested in as a daughter of the king. Better to be called the son of a carpenter for Joseph than the son of a whore. He was going to protect her relationship, her reputation. But before they come together, she was, verse 16, found with child. She was pregnant. Old Testament law calls for an unfaithful woman to be killed. You understand that when this news came out, first thought Joseph would have had is she was unfaithful. First thought her parents would have had was she was unfaithful. Not only to the betrothal, but to her own virginity. Joseph has a right to divorce her. In fact, the way it looks is that Joseph had been pure, and she apparently had not been pure. Have you ever thought about that conversation? You're pregnant, And a what? An angel showed up and said, what? You're going to be pregnant by a Holy Spirit? You know, that's not how that happens. Did we not do the biological talk with you? I sometimes think about that whole confrontation. It also gives me an appreciation for Mary. She knew who she'd talked to. She knew what she had not done and what she was, pregnant. But Joseph, verse 19, is a just man. 64 times in the Bible that word is translated righteous. Why do the King James, New King James translators put it just? Why not righteous? I'll have an answer. But Joseph is going to treat her well. By the way, a righteous man should not marry an unrighteous woman. 2 Corinthians 6:14. Do not be unequally yoked. If you expect God's blessing on your home, marry in the Lord. Young men, the tabloid hunk, the tabloid, or young women, the tabloid hunk, or young women, the tabloid girl, the one that's on the cover of all the magazines, is probably not the best choice for a spouse. It looks like she broke her pledge. That's what it looks like. Joseph is a man of principle who loves God. He was a righteous man. He has a right to publicly humiliate Mary. That's the culture. He has a right to sue for a divorce from the betrothal. Rather than do that, he says, well, we'll do this quietly. We're going to have a divorce, but we're going to do it quietly, not publicly. That's the first sign of his righteousness. Brothers and sisters, sometimes difficult, unpleasant, hard things happen to righteous people. Why? Well, that question will drive you mad. But God's providence is immense and beyond our understanding. And Joseph is just acting in a way that's in keeping with his righteousness. And he was a thoughtful man, verse 20. While he thought about these things, he's not rash. He's not led by his emotions. He's not demanding his rights. Could you not say? I know I could. I wish I was a lot more like Joseph. Hard decisions often need deliberation. You need to ponder, to think. There's a conflict going on inside him. He wants to marry her, but there's this shame. And while he's mulling this over, he lays down to sleep, and there's this dream. The angel of the Lord appears to him and tells Joseph what Mary already knew. Joseph didn't know it yet, but Mary did. God's plan is not for Jesus to be born by a disgraced woman who has been divorced. God's plan is for Jesus to be born in a marriage to a son of David, in the line of the 39 begots. Son of David is a reminder of the promise the Lord made to the line of David. And Joseph's family is that line. You realize that Joseph has the honor of being daddy to the Messiah. Jesus called Joseph Abba, Hebrew for daddy. His heritage comes through Joseph's family. Brothers and sisters, don't fear the struggle of a righteous man. Sometimes hard decisions are going to come to you, Christian. But the Lord gives much assurance and comfort. Now, I wish I could tell you that when you're having a struggle and a hard time, you could just go to sleep, an angel would appear and tell you what to do. Doesn't happen that way. But it did for Joseph. In other words, the angel says to Joseph, Mary was not unfaithful after all. Joseph is going to marry a virtuous woman. But again, let's fill in the blanks here. You imagine the in-laws, the uncles, the aunts, the families, the neighbors. I can't believe that, Joseph. Why didn't he divorce her? Surprising thing. This virgin birth is God's idea, not man's. And Joseph is given God's word. He's encouraged to believe it. And more importantly, to act on it. Comforting thing. He would be the protector and the provider for Mary and this child. I think Joseph is one of the most enigmatic figures in the Bible. We know a lot about him, but there's a point at which Joseph disappears. No mention of when he died or left or what. Nothing. There's a lot of speculation. But he was there. He would be the father. Or again, I would say, the daddy of Jesus. You know, there's a big difference between father and daddy. Any male can be a biological sperm donor, if you will. But not daddy. Daddy's the one that's there. The one that takes care of, provides for. And you're going to give this child a name, Joseph. Verse 21, Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. The Holy Spirit conceives this child in the womb of this virgin. And Joseph is told to give the child a name, not just any name. He's the Savior. God alone, through Christ alone, saves his people from what? From the guilt, power, punishment of sin. Saved from that. Saved to what? To become the children of God. With all the rights and privileges of being in the family of God. Peace, lasting joy, freedom, heaven itself. This is what's promised to believers. The prophet's words are fulfilled, verses 22 and 23. All of this is the long-expected Messiah. Jesus is the good news that's been promised all through the Old Testament. Joseph was a thoughtful man. But he's also obedient. verses 24. He wakes up and does exactly what he was told to do. That's a great testimony. How many of us, when we're told what to do, hem and haw, make excuses, put off? Brothers and sisters, when God's will is clear, do not delay. Obey. When the Bible is clear, there's no argument. Obey. So he took to him his wife. There's a wedding. They're living together under the suspicion. Now, probably the talk is, oh, they were sexually active before they got married. Shame on them. But they didn't. In fact, we're told that they didn't have relations until after this child was born. And by the way, there's that argument right there. Jesus is the firstborn of Mary. There were others. One particular Christian expression says that Mary had no other children. I just can't buy that. The Bible doesn't seem to indicate that. How obedient was Joseph? Well, in chapter 2, verses 13 and 14, he has a second dream. He sends the family to Egypt, which also fulfills the prophecy of God. Why did they go to Egypt? To avoid Herod's horror. Chapter 2, verse 19, third dream. Go back to Israel. The enemy of God's child are dead. And they get up and they travel back to Israel. Chapter 2, verse 22, fourth dream. Go to Galilee. That's where the family settles, in a place called Nazareth. Why? Because the Bible says he would be called a Nazarene. Hometown of Jesus Christ. That's the town that they say, can anything good come from Nazareth? All of these things, brothers and sisters, worked together to assure Mary and Joseph that God's hand was in it all. In every one of these aspects. I mean, in Luke chapter 1, you know, Gabriel shows up and appears to Mary. What an amazing confrontation. Elizabeth had spoken words of blessing about this child. An angel appears to Joseph. Shepherds are going to show up and report about choirs of singing angels. And later, wise men are going to travel and come to the family bearing gifts that almost every Bible commentator says were expensive and provided for the family. They followed a star. Simon's prayer at the circumcision blows Joseph and Mary's mind. And all of these astounding things are proof to Joseph and Mary. God's protection and warning. Joseph trusts the word of the Lord. And God uses Joseph in the plan of salvation. Again, there's all kinds of speculation about Joseph. There are no real biblical texts. He was Jesus' daddy. What do they call Jesus? The carpenter's Son, who are they talking about? Joseph. My theatrical drama mind wants to play out scenes where Joseph is teaching Jesus how to swing a hammer, how to use a saw, how to cut wood. But that's all speculation. But Jesus grew up in Joseph's house. He was a normal man. Disciplined. Righteous. Thoughtful. Obedient. That's an example for us all. Brothers and sisters, we have a call, and we should walk worthy of this high calling. Man, there's a lot that we don't know. A lot. But what we do know, what child is this whom angels greet? This is Christ the King, the Word made flesh. Salvation brings joy, joy, for Christ is born, the babe, the son of Mary, whose father, earthly father, was Joseph. What an amazing story. Told about a real man. That should give us confidence in the whole revelation of God's Scripture. These things came to pass just as the Scripture said. What a great example for all of us. Let's pray together. Almighty Father, we do come before You who have, in the wisdom of eternal counsels, have ordered these things. Familiar to us because we've read the Christmas story, if you will, from Matthew and from Luke, from Mark. But we thank You, Father, that they tell us of real events that took place in real time. We thank You for a man like Joseph, who was willing to obey the very Word of God and did a heroic almost thing, taking Mary to himself, being the earthly father of the Messiah, Jesus. Father, help us to be obedient to the revealed will of God. We ask You.